All right.
It's a nice city. All right. You give me the old pointy point, and we'll get this done.
I think we've got a lot of dead air on here.
Do
so
we? All right.
Anytime you want to start, go be my guest.
Okay.
Be my guest. Be my guest.
Okay. We can't do copywritten Disney songs.
Feel my breasts. Feel my breasts.
We can't do sexy Disney songs. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
We are co-hosts of this show.
We are co-hosts.
If one of us cannot fulfill our hosting duty...
I think of myself as a host and you as the associate host.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
For tax purposes.
Is this right?
Okay, that's fine then.
It's a limited partnership.
Sure, all right. Oh, boy, I don't want to talk about taxes right now, brother. I do not want to talk about taxes. So what we're going to do, though, off the top, which we normally forget to do because we're dimwits... We're a couple of dimwits, is what I'm saying.
Literally, I like to think of myself as dimwit, and you as the associate dimwit.
That's right. I'm the dimwit stooge. is do some plugs. Now, Dave, in this rough economy,
yes.
What's everyone scared of?
Fleas?
Close.
Okay.
Losing their shirts.
Well, that's because of fleas.
That's right. Well, here's the thing. All right, let me. I was going to go with losing their shirts, so you should buy some of our shirts, but I like this flea idea. You know, many of you out there are pet owners, and who doesn't love a dog or a cat? Some say they're man's best friend, not a cat. They don't give a fuck. But dogs are man's best friend. And if you lie with dogs, as we do, you wake up with fleas. What do you do then? You got to throw out your shirts. Where are you going to get a new shirt? At the store? You can't, buddy. You're shirtless. No shoes, no shirt, no service.
At the Shirt Emporium.
So you got to order your shirts online. But where? Well, I'll tell you. The Sneaky Dragon Store. Come on down to Sneaky Dragon.
What? Say that again?
Sneaky Dragon Store.
Oh.
SneakyDragon.com. We got a store on there, and you can order from many beautiful shirts of Dave's design that he designed a while drunk. With power, because he does not drink alcohol.
No.
He drinks bottles of power.
That's true. That's right.
Not power aid.
I am a father.
That's right.
It is easy to get drunk with power.
Absolutely. So why not go on down to the Sneaky Dragon site, just read some of the stuff we put on there, look at some cartoons, enjoy yourself, and while you're there, pick up a shirt.
Sure.
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
Also want to mention, I'm going to be in Saskatoon. Saskatchewan.
Are you?
It sounds like I just made up that name, but it's a real city in Canada.
Oh, Saskatoon. Next, you'd be telling me there's a place called Moose Jaw.
I might actually tell you that.
Oh.
But I'm going to be at Sask Expo, it's called. Saskatchewan Expo, I suppose. And that's a Comic-Con.
That doesn't really ring. That doesn't really flow off the tongue at all.
No. Once again, terrible name.
Yeah.
But beautiful city. Actually, one of my favorite cities in Canada.
You know what would be better is Saskon.
Saskon actually would be better.
Yeah.
Maybe there is already a Saskon.
Maybe.
What are you going to do? If you can't get con, you go expo. That's your second thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then probably you know who got it? Some sort of fetish night. I bet they nailed that.
That's right.
Probably.
A bunch of people into green.
You know, that's the thing about those fetishers is they're on the ball. Boy, they're sharp. And you know why? Because they're in tight leather, and that increases concentration and blood flow.
Well, usually they're not on the ball. Usually they're biting the ball.
That is true. They are biting the ball.
Yeah.
Good point. All right, put that out of your mind, and let me once again plug Saskatchewan Expo. My wife, Pia Guerra, artist on Why the Last Man, Doctor Who, and a whole bunch of other stuff, is going to be there with me. Superman, yeah, upcoming Adventures of Superman digital comic. It's going to be there with me, and we're going to be there on the 14th and 15th. That's a Saturday and Sunday. So
14th to 15th of September?
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
So why not come down and say hi?
That's coming up soon.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, there is a reason not to come down and say hi, and that's because you don't live in Saskatchewan. But if you
do,
come say hi.
If you live in Saskatchewan, come down to the Saskon.
Saskon?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to plug is I got a book out on Kindle. It's an e-book.
I wish I could read it.
Yes, you can. I can give you 7 different ways that you could read it, including me just giving you one because we are friends.
Yeah, but that's no good. I got to buy it.
All right. Well, give me $5 and I'll give you the book.
Oh, okay.
All right. That deal works for you guys, too. Basically, my book is $5. It's on. He's getting out the $5 right now. Fantastic.
There you go.
It's on Kindle. It's on Amazon. And it's called It's About Tolerance, Stupid.
I read the samples on Amazon. That was very good.
Oh, thanks.
Very good.
And, I've been sending the samples of the book out, like actually full copies of the book out, to people who have radically disagreed with me
on
my message board.
Oh, okay, that's smart.
Because I want people who disagree with me. There's a lot of times
you're asking them to write the blurbs for the back of the book.
If they want to, that's fine. I've actually sent out some that are blurb worthy.
Okay.
But one of the reasons is I've over my time criticized certain books on improv.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I got it coming to me, buddy. So I've written a book. I've put my hat in the ring. And okay. Feel free to kick my hat back.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, shit in it.
You set.
And then put it on my head. And you're free to do that.
Sure.
And all it costs you is $5. So, no, it doesn't cost them because I gave them a free one. But, yeah.
So you sent one to Keith Johnston.
No, I didn't.
Johnston?
He would
you
not
sent one to
it.
The corpse of Del Close.
He would not give half a fuck at
no,
all.
No.
There's no way he would care.
Well, okay. I just want to say one thing about it because I read a lot of it already.
Okay.
Just because I'm on the Facebook page and I've read some of your thoughts
right.
and stuff like that.
Some of the essays have been on my Facebook page, Noann.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them I tweak, though, as well.
But yeah, you've kind of filled them in. But I just want to say that it's not just improv. Like, I think anyone who's involved in the arts or even just wanting, like, sort of life lessons on how to relate to people in groups and stuff like that, I think what you say in there is applicable to that as well. Gee, I'm really... I'm going to pull my thing back a bit.
Maybe I should give some mic lessons.
Yeah, I think so. I think this windsock thing was a little too close. I just think...
By the way, Dave, you're supposed to put the windsock on the microphone. You've been wearing it in a very inappropriate way.
Sorry.
Since we started 92 episodes
92
ago. I was going to tell you on our 100th episode as a surprise.
There's things in life that people should tell you about that
yeah.
you don't know. And
Dave's a big
if.
Fan of the Red Hot Chili Peppers,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
he went like, "That's how I want to roll
right.
on this podcast.
That's how I want it to be."
Okay, please continue your compliment.
What I was going to say is that, one thing you say is that you should always just say what you're thinking. But I'm starting to think that's wrong now. No. It's just I think in terms of like just being a creative person, the things you say in there, are applicable to more than just improv, like just about to arts in general. Or someone said to me on Twitter, they said, "Our life, just living. These are great rules to."
It's
to
basically
follow
well. There's, I mean, it starts
not
with,
as you follow, but to
it
apply
starts
to
with
your
the
life.
Point of improv because that's what I've done kind of
yeah,
the most
of.
So that's what I can talk about the most. But yeah, it does pertain to other things. And the basic thing that I've got in there is like that I want to cover was why people quit doing the things they love. What stands in your way
mm-hmm.
of doing? There's something you want to do, and why do you stop doing that?
I'm a living example of that. The person who doesn't do what he wants to do or doesn't do what he loves to do. So. When I read it, it really speaks to me.
And yet you're doing this right now.
I don't want to.
I'm doing this as a favor to you. What the fuck? Once again, 92 episodes in, and we have this awkward moment where we find out neither of us wants to do this show. Now all we need is a bunch of emails from people going, we didn't want to listen to it. We were just being polite. And then, it's all a big clusterfuck.
Whoops.
Oh, and by the way, lightning just flashed behind Dave,
mm-hmm.
so I'm counting in my head to see how close
yeah.
it is. If it gets less than a second away, we're going to stop.
We're going to stop because we don't want to be wearing headphones when the lightning strikes.
That's right.
And this will be the first time we've got thunderous applause.
That's right. I remember when I was a kid, take a drink. I'm talking about when I was a kid. My mom would turn off the TV whenever there was a lightning
Ooh,
storm.
It just came. Did you hear
there
that?
There it goes. Yeah, that was far enough away that we're all right.
Yeah, we're fine.
But she would turn off the TV because she said if there's what could happen is it could hit the... There was another bit of lightning behind you.
Mm-hmm.
It would hit the antenna and the TV would explode.
Okay.
That's the... Because that happened to someone she knew.
Okay.
The TV exploded. Which I look back on and go, I don't think that happened.
Well, if it's happened to someone she knew, that's fairly truthful to me. Now, if it happened to a cousin of someone that she knew...
It was a family member of some sort, yeah.
That doesn't ring true to me.
What I think it was probably a family member spinning a yarn,
mm-hmm.
Who went like, the TV blew out. What happened? It blew up, and blew out became blew up, and that's how it goes.
A lot more people knit in those days.
What?
Spinning a yarn.
Okay.
You're not talking about that?
No, I'm not talking about that at all.
Sorry.
Thanks for tuning into Loom Humor.
The first time I went
actually,
to...
by the way, if you had a comedy podcast about knitting,
mm-hmm.
holy shit, that would be popular. Holy cow.
And short.
No.
You'd run out of jokes pretty.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Well, we've run out of jokes usually 5 minutes in, and we keep going for more than an hour. But it doesn't stop
us. Once you used up crotchety.
Uh-huh.
Said a joke about pearls.
Right.
Knit your brows. You're done.
Okay.
That's it.
Fair
what
enough.
Else is there left?
All right. You're just throwing money away, brother. We could really cash in on this kind of thing. I'm thinking, like, once we hit 100, that's when we start all our spinoffs.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So that's, and we actually are planning a little bit of a spinoff podcast that's secret right now, secret, that we can't tell you about, but
project.
There is a secret project that will be spinning off of Sneaky Dragon, and that's it. And I, and again, I also sort of once upon a time said I was going to start doing an improv podcast. That will also occur, called No And, based on my board.
Sure.
That will occur. We've recorded two of them.
Based on your book.
Yeah. But you know what happened?
You had to wait for your book to come out before you could do a podcast based on your book.
Well, that's the thing. And my book is all about why do you stop doing the things you want to do. And apparently I stopped doing that. So, hypocrite much?
That's right. Physician, heal thyself.
That's right. Actually, a physician should heal thyself if thyself is the only one in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, tend to that wound. What are you going to do? Just walk to the hospital? You're a doctor. Fix yourself, you jerk.
Sometimes it's hard.
It is hard.
Hard to reach. Like if you got a scratch on your bum, that'd be difficult to stitch.
If you got a scratch.
Yeah, if you got like a cut on your bum.
Oh, I see. I thought if you just had to scratch.
Or your back.
If you just had to scratch your ass, you go to the hospital.
No.
Because that's Canadian healthcare. We're so well covered. If we get a scratch,
if we have an itchy bum,
we just go to the hospital and ask a doctor and say, hey, doc.
Yeah.
You're required by law.
If you sat in a hard seat with wet pants,
that's right.
You just automatically have to go to the hospital.
Which you would do if you went to, as we said last week, Le Carnaval in Montréal and slid down the ice slide. You would have wet pants. You would probably sit on a hard piece of wood because there's a bench there for the hockey game, which must be playing. And then afterwards, when you have your itchy bottom, please go to the hospital and have a doctor who has trained for many years
scratch it for you. And he has a little hand on a stick.
That's right.
And he just scratches it like a little rake.
He scratches it once in English and once in French.
That's right. Well, in one case, he's a monsieur. In the other, he's a monsieur.
That's right. Yes, he is.
Mm.
See? Wouldn't the knitting podcast be better than this? You got to admit it.
Never.
You got to admit it, folks.
Never.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Looking at the rain, how is your deck?
My deck
is... This is Dave's Deck Talk. It's our new segment of the show. How's your deck? Because you had a bit of deck tragedy where you had waterfall on important objects.
Yeah. I'm going to change my name to the Human Porch. But anyway, it's still the same. It's better because I got a better tarp. That's about it.
Right.
Like, I haven't been able to advance very far. We had visitors come last week. Visitors from the East came and visited us. Two wise men. And I just haven't had time, really.
Mm-hmm.
Even the one of the guests was really enthusiastic about working on the deck with me.
Yeah.
And was all gung-ho, like, we're going to get out there and do this.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, actually, we're going to go out and we're going to be touring around. So we're not going to be working on the deck. Because, you know, you don't want to travel, I don't know how far. They came from Scotland. They came from the Shetland Islands.
Yeah.
Which is a small place. Doesn't have a lot of things there. It's a very beautiful place. I've been there once, about 20 years ago. And it's a very nice place to visit, but you know, when you come to Vancouver from Shetland, you don't want to spend 2 days working on Dave's deck. That doesn't seem like that great a trip to me.
I don't know.
As entertaining as a fellow as I am.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It depends the type of person you are. If you're not a touristy type, then that might sound fun doing a project. You know, if you like working on cars, you go to another place in the world and you work on a car there for a while. That sounds fun.
I think he's that sort of person, but I wouldn't want to, you know, I just would feel bad about
it. You felt bad. Yeah, understood.
Yeah.
So where did
I didn't make him help me move my fridge downstairs.
didn't feel that bad.
We bought another fridge, and so we had to move our fridge downstairs.
Ooh, two-fridge house.
Now it's a two-fridge house, yeah.
Nice.
I don't know. It feels kind of silly having an empty fridge downstairs.
Oh, it's empty?
Well, what are you going to put in it?
Meat. Big slabs of meat.
Well, that's what Lisa said. She goes, well, this is for the turkey.
Right.
I'm like, well, we have turkey twice a year practically, so Thanksgiving and Christmas. And this Thanksgiving, we're going away for Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, we go to a bar and we're doing like a comedy show there or something, you and me, and we win the meat draw,
yeah?
And then you got a side of beef. What are you going to do?
It will come in useful.
There you go.
You're right.
You are having so much lightning behind you, but right now, it's amazing.
I am
Thor.
You
look like Dr. Frankenstein right now.
I was thinking more Thor, but
sure, you can.
You're not going to go with the...
Well,
if
you're feeling Thor, then go to the hospital, because here in Canada, you're covered. Anyway.
By the Mathur.
Now, so where did you take your guests in the British?
Well, they arrived on Wednesday.
Okay.
And they were leaving on Tuesday.
Okay.
So they weren't here for very long. They were going to Saskatchewan.
Oh.
Because they wanted to go to the expo.
Right.
So they're there.
It's a big thing.
They're currently there.
We're very popular with Shetlandites.
Yeah. Shetlanders?
I like Shetlandites.
Shetlandites?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're called Shetheads.
Okay.
I think that's the actual term. But Thursday, we went down to Seattle.
Oh, okay. So, hey, we want to see BC. Screw you. We're going to America.
Well, they also wanted to see the States because, you know, you're right next door and you've always seen it and always wanted. So,
have they ever been to America before?
No, no. This is their first visit to this continent.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So on this trip, they were incontinent. And, oops, I just lost
Yeah,
my.
Of course you did. Your lid just went, fuck that, to that joke, and just took off.
So the first thing we did was, we went across the border. Like, we live in Aldergrove,
yeah,
which is kind of a small town.
All right, I'll be the border guard, and you be the guy from the Shetland Islands.
Yeah, the Sherhead.
All right, so, hello, sir, where are you from?
What? Oh,
you're the Shetlander.
I could, now you're making me do a Shetland accent.
Yeah, I am. Right? You're damn right I am.
Because actually, what's weird is he's from Wales. Okay. And he lives in Shetland.
All right, well,
so I cannot do Welsh.
You sent many days. All right, pretend you're from the Shetlands.
Bloody David Jones. Okay.
Okay, hello, sir. Where are you going today?
Well, see, I did all the talking. So now you're really ruining it for me. Because I'm just...
All right,
You're asking me... I'll be this border security guard, and you be the guy from the Shetland Islands.
Okay.
How's that sound?
All right.
Does that sound fair?
Sure. All right, go ahead. Be the border guard, then.
Where are you going today?
Ach, I wish I was playing on the deck. I gotta go out fickin' Seattle and New Way and their van don't New Way. Ach, I wish I was drunk.
Is that about right?
That's perfect. I've never heard an accent. I've never heard anyone get it so close.
Right.
Perfect, in fact. What's funny, actually, is that people from the Orkneys and the Shetlands don't have, like, a traditional Scottish, what we would think of it, like that Glaswegian.
I would love to hear the real accent, and yet you will deny me that.
Well, I can only do little bits of it, which is like, I didn't ken that, so that's an example of it.
Nice.
You know, they go Duntoon.
Right.
And, you know, they don't remember.
Now, would you mind singing that song?
Duntoon? Duntoon.
Da, da, da,
I don't know the
da,
rest
da,
of the lyrics. That's where I stand, too.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah.
Very pleasant. So you went to Seattle. What did you see in Seattle? You ate a Dick's Burger.
We did. That was when we were leaving.
Okay.
We went in. We went to the Pike's Place Market, which they thoroughly enjoyed. We're really impressed by.
And did they watch a guy throw a fish?
We did see a guy throw a fish. We went to the gum wall, the terrible, terrible gum wall.
Outside of the Unexpected market, Productions,
unexpected,
which is
the Market Theater.
Would do theater sports there in Seattle.
Yeah.
Perform there once a year, usually.
Whenever we go down for the Emerald City, you always go and do your show there. And then
the gum wall is horrific. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's a wall of used gum.
Yeah.
As bad as that sounds... Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. It's very colorful. It's beautiful. You'll take a picture of it as long as you can't be near it in person.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a happy time, but oh my God. And you know there's drunk guys licking it because they're being dared.
Oh, yes. I was thinking they just walked by and just licked it randomly, but okay.
The drunkest people I ever see in Seattle are walking down that alley. That is the drunkest I ever see anyone in Seattle.
Well, that's a song. The drunkest guys you'll ever see are in Seattle.
Very nicely done.
Thanks.
That is a good parody. I was making fun of you 2 weeks ago because it was a bad parody. It didn't sync up well. But yeah, very nice. It scans well.
Mm-hmm.
You mail that to Weird Al. Get yourself a couple of dollars.
We went. So Pike Place.
Did you go to the original Starbucks?
We passed by the original Starbucks. And I did point out to everyone who was looking. I said, you see, on this picture, you can see her breasts. On the modern logo for Starbucks, she hides her assets and her breastettes.
That's right.
Yeah. So then we went past that. We went went to the Space Needle.
Nice.
But it was quite a bit. It was quite rainy that day. So actually, it was raining quite a bit. So we stopped and had pizza at Zeke's Pizza.
Okay.
Which is near the Space Needle.
All right.
Very good pizza. I highly recommend Zeke's if you're in Seattle.
Did you go to the Sci-Fi or Rock and Roll Museum while you were there?
No, we did not. Because we were kind of... It was kind of whirlwind trip.
Yep.
You're going to get that impression, right? So then we...
By the way, it is worthwhile stopping in if those of you who are going to visit Seattle. It's fun. I like the sci-fi. I'm not as big a music fan.
I wasn't that fond of the music one, actually, myself.
Did you like the sci-fi one?
I've never been in it.
Oh.
I think when I went there, it wasn't there. Like I said, I don't remember noticing it.
Next time, if we go to Emerald together, we should go.
Yeah.
I think you would enjoy it.
They
got a great wall of weapons, like all these sci-fi weapons from various TV and movie series. And the thing that Ripley fights the alien in Aliens.
Okay.
That's up there.
The big box mover?
A big
machine?
Yeah, that's right.
They have a construction crane in the Science Fiction Museum. It's fascinating. So we went to the Space Needle, went up the Space Needle.
Oh, I've never done that.
You never have? It's It's kind of nice, actually. It's kind of interesting.
I just figure it's sort of like it is at the bottom, but higher.
Yes, very true. It's actually quite accurate, because you are in the exact same place, only you're higher.
Yeah.
So you're right.
So how much am I paying for that?
It's quite expensive. It's about $22 per person to go up.
So how much is that a foot?
It's 650 feet.
Okay.
You figure it out.
All right, my math
is a little weaker.
Once again, the lightning behind you is ridiculous right now.
I missed it.
I know. Every time you turn around, it's gone. Trust me, though. There are birds exploding in the sky right now behind you.
That is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And cruel. Nature.
Okay. So you go to the Space Needle, you go up.
Yep.
They go, oh, it's really high.
That's right. Oh, I
can't believe how high it is. By the way, no offense to the actual people who I'm doing a...
I didn't ken how high it is.
Boom. There
that's,
you go.
That's what they said.
Nice.
And actually, my wife's cousin who... was, you know, it was her cousin and her husband, my wife's cousin and her husband who came to visit. She was terrified of heights. But actually, she enjoyed, when she was up there, she was fine.
Mm-hmm.
She enjoyed it quite a bit. And it is nice, you know, you get to take a 360-degree view of Seattle and see different parts. You can see the lake and you can see the sound out in front. And it was a lot of fun, actually. And then...
various almost live cast members roaming the streets.
That's true.
Nothing you just
look
to
down
do.
And see them. Nancy Guppy down below us. Will, whatever his name was. And Bill Nye, the science guy.
No, he's rich. He doesn't need to be
there
anymore.
He doesn't need to be there.
No, he's fine.
He's on Dancing with the Stars.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's also going on a lot of news shows and being the balanced point of view when someone's got a dumb opinion about, you know, global warming or something. And he's just going, well, yeah, it's clear that it's, I can't. And he's trying not to call the guy an idiot.
He's an expert now.
Yeah, doing everything he can not to roll his eyes.
Hmm. And so then we went down from there.
Right.
We took the elevator down.
Good.
And then
don't
what else
want to bungee
we
off that.
Then we wandered over and we went through like the shopping area of, you know, kind of closer to the convention center.
Okay.
It's got like a nice shop with Nordstrom's and stuff like that. Because, you know, there's no department stores in the Shetlands.
No.
So it's kind of interesting.
It's against their religion.
And they were really fascinated.
That's where the devil lives, in malls.
Well, it's just the population of the Shetlands is about 28,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not really enough to support like a full-blown department store. I don't think.
No.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know marketing. Although I teach Marketing 101.
Yes, you
as
do.
As we have established. But that's more of like a basic class. So
huge lightning was just behind you right now. Go ahead. Everything you say sounds
you're making
so...
me scared because it's getting like it's closer and closer.
I'm just saying like you don't know how dramatic the things you're saying sound when like after you've said them. It's like, I teach Marketing 101. Whoa,
crack-a-boom.
Big lightning. Yeah, behind you. It's great. No crack-a-boom because that comes later.
That comes later, yeah. There. No, I thought it was, but it's just a bus. Oh, I saw a little bit there.
Yep.
So then what do we do? So, yeah, we went to the shopping district. Then we walked down to the old part of Seattle.
Right. You didn't go under Seattle, though.
We did not do the underground tour because it was a bit late by that point.
Because that's where the Strangler is, as we've seen in the Night Strangler.
Night Strangler.
That's right.
And the full-size city, which makes the tour really disappointing, if you've seen that, the Night Strangler. Because there is no city like that that's in the show.
Oh, okay.
It's not like buildings underground. What they did was, because of... flooding and stuff like that, they built their sidewalks higher. And so what happened was is that a lot of the older part of the city got built upon fire. And then so there were some you know, the bottom parts of buildings were left below. And if you walk along the sidewalks in Seattle, you'll see tiles in the sidewalk, and those like clear tiles, like clear glass tiles or purple tiles, and they're to give light to those underground corridors.
Oh, neat.
And then, of course, they were used for nefarious activities and various sort of things like that.
Scandalous things.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, we took the tour, and it told us that there was something like 1,000 seamstresses in Seattle at that time. And that was because you couldn't write whore on your census form, so everyone was a seamstress.
Oh.
So, yes. But most of the women there had a particular job that they did.
How much for a good darning?
They were in the service industry. That's right. It was a darn good time.
I would like the knit one. Mm-hmm. Would you like the pearl two? That's up to you,
save
sir.
Save this for the knitting podcast.
Okay.
And what we saw there that was really interesting, and they thought was really fascinating, was it was the Seahawks were playing that night. So there was lots of people walking down towards Quest Field in their Seahawks gear.
Yeah.
But they're playing the Raiders. And so there was this bar that had been taken over by Raiders fans. And they're all outside of it wearing their jerseys. And there was a guy driving by in like a 1950s souped up pickup truck in Raiders colors, you know, black and silver, wearing his Raiders gear. And all the Raider Nation guys were all like, woo, yeah, woo, Raider Nation. And so that was fun because, you know, you don't see that. And what's interesting, like...
They love sport over there.
Well, in England, that would have an undercurrent of violence, too, in lots of cases, like in football. Here, in American football, there's this kind of... Even though there's obviously competition and stuff like that, it's on a lighter level. There's more of a friendly competition. Most cases, obviously, there are
times
when...
Yeah, there's times when there's jerks.
Get carried away.
But also,
no
here's
fun.
The thing about America is everyone, and I am grossly stereotyping here, but everyone's so out of shape that three punches in, everyone's winded and has to take a nap.
That's for everyone.
Whack, whack, whack. Oh, I'm exhausted. Forget this fighting. I gotta.
I don't care how in shape you are, unless you're a fighter. Fighting is really hard.
Okay.
So then what did we do then? I think that was it. We kind of called it quits. We walked back to our car, and then it just really started to rain on us.
Yeah.
It became like
full Seattle experience.
Torrential rain pour.
I mean, when they go back and you go, like, we were in Seattle, and the first thing people are going to ask is, did it rain? And you go, yes, it did.
Yeah.
And you're like, tick that box. Yeah. Good for you.
And
you went back to Vancouver.
We went back. Then we stopped at Dick's Burgers.
Right.
And we ate for $16, which is always a nice thing about Dick's Burgers, is the reasonableness and the goodness of their food.
And that their staff has a dental plan.
Yes, and daycare.
Yep.
And they also have a scholarship program there.
Yeah. You know, with all the thing that's going on right now with McDonald's
and they
make
Wendy's, more than minimum wage.
Yeah, and all this thing about, like, there's no way we can do this for minimum. There's no way we can pay more. We can't. How could we?
Yeah.
And you just go, like, have you seen Dick's Burgers? You know, and there's always people swarmed around that place.
But it's a family company. It's not a stock. It's not sold in the stock
market. But
they've
got enough locations, and they all seem to do fairly well. I can't remember a Dick's closing down over the last little while.
No,
they're fine.
Everyone loves a Dick.
So you come back up to BC.
Yeah, and then went to sleep. No, so the next... what did we do for our next trip? Oh, yeah, we went... the next day was really busy. We went up Mount Seymour.
Yep.
We went to Capilano Suspension Bridge.
That's where you see more things.
That's why it's called that.
That
has a big view of the city.
That's right.
Unfortunately, it was a little foggy, so it was a bit of a spoiler.
Ugh.
Fog. But they still enjoyed it, just to see the mountain and everything.
No one in Europe is used to fog.
And then we went, like we said, we went to Capilano Suspension Bridge.
Okay.
And that was interesting and fun. They enjoyed that. And then we went to Stanley Park.
Wait. You said the lady was scared of heights.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds horrible for her. That sounds like the worst thing you could take her to.
Yeah.
Is Capilano Suspension Bridge. How did that go over with her?
She was fine with it.
What?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
She had a death grip on the cable, I think, but she made it across.
By the way, a lot of those seamstresses had death grips on the cable. By that, I mean cable knit sweaters.
Yes.
Because they were seamstresses.
All right, please continue. Right. Yes. That's the seamy side of Seattle that you're talking about. We went to Stanley Park, and that was just kind of like a flying tour. Yeah, but, you know, you wanted to see it, right?
Did you see any raccoons?
We did not see any raccoons. We were looking for raccoons because we saw some really cute ones there a little while ago. So, but there were none around. There were some tourists there who were really excited about an animal. Lisa said, "Oh, it's a raccoon!" She went running down the stairs with her relatives, and it turned out these people were excited about a slug.
Which you then quickly, with a marker, made look like a raccoon.
That's right. It's got a mask. Look, it's washing its food. Watch, it's washing itself in the water because I'm pushing it. But anyway,
Oh no, that's beer. Oh, it's dead. The end.
Sad end to Mr. Slug. So then we went from there to the Peony.
Oh, and the Peony was still open.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. We took, now, speaking of scared of heights and stuff like that, Lisa's cousin would not go on the roller coaster with us.
Of course not.
But her husband did.
Uh-huh.
Because that's a tradition for us when we go to the Peony. We have to go on the old wooden roller coaster. And I think he didn't take it very seriously. I think he was thinking to himself, old wooden roller coaster, not that big a deal.
Mm.
So then... when he got to the top, and it almost threw him out of the car, because it has that feeling to it, like that you're going to get thrown out.
Yeah.
And then whipped him. He was sitting behind Lisa when we started. Then he was behind me after that first curve. And then he was whipped back to the side again, so he just thought, I'm going to hold on now.
Yeah. Oh, he wasn't holding on.
No. He thought he could just sit there. Yeah, I know. So then...
What? Okay.
You're not really going to get thrown out.
No. Physics have said that no one has ever been thrown out. Some people have, like, gone backwards because the thing broke, but that's the worst of it.
Oh, on the first hill, you mean?
Yeah, the first hill.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's... I know you always hear about people getting thrown off of it, but then you look into it, no one got thrown off of it.
No.
But they do have a little display as you walk up of broken cell phones to tell you to not keep them in your pocket.
Yeah, because people are going to be trying to record it and then smashy-smashy on the bar.
Secure your valuables.
Yeah.
And so, and then after the initial hill, there's the second hill, and they take your picture there.
So oh, they didn't do that before. That's new.
After you're scared out of your pants, on the first hill. Then you go to the second hill, and then you're further scared out of your pants, and that's a perfect place to take your picture. So we had a great pic. We didn't buy the picture, but there was a great picture of Lisa's cousin's husband with his face melting in fear because he could not believe what he was going through. He thought this would be so easy, and it wasn't. Because it is a kind of a scary ride. Like most modern roller coasters, and
you're all super strapped in.
Yeah, you're
it's
really
like you're,
secured.
You're being hugged in every place.
And they'll often have like a thing along your head to keep your head still.
Yeah, it's everything but a helmet. Yeah. And this one is just like, fuck you. Get in this wheelbarrow. What's going to happen? I'm pushing you down the mountain.
You're in
off you go. Good luck. Right.
You're in a cart with a bar in front of you about 6 inches away from your leg.
Yeah.
Have fun, everyone.
Have you ever done those things where you're on a big hill and it's sort of the metal ride, just sit on a bit of metal and just slide down? Like, you know what I mean? It's like on a rail that just takes you whipping down a hill.
Is it really thin?
It's quite thin, yeah. Yeah, you're sitting on there. Basically, you're sitting on just like a little bit of metal.
Yeah.
And then you're holding on to the bar, the handlebars. Yeah. And then you're whipped down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of rusty and looks dangerous as fuck. And it's definitely from another era. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what the roller coaster feels like.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like this was from... You would not design this today.
No.
No one would let you. The government would step in and go, no, sir, no, sir. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's from back in the day. So every so often they want to tear it down and people protest and then they don't.
Well, they should. And they took away the, well, mouse or the atomic mouse.
That was the neck snapper.
That was a fun ride, though.
But
I really enjoyed it.
It was the neck snappingest. It had some turns on it where, you know, you'd be looking one way, your body would be forced the other way. And it was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You're doing
You're recommending it to me, you know?
Yeah.
It's
you're
funny.
Johnny Limberneck, but you know.
But I just really enjoyed that ride. But what I most enjoyed about it was if you rode it, like if I went on with the girls when they were younger, they would have to throw sandbags into it to get the proper weight so that it would carry you through the ride.
Oh, interesting.
If it's too light, there's not enough, the gravity won't act on it properly and there's just not enough weight to pull to get you going. Yeah. So they kind of knew. They just chuck a bunch of bags in and let you go.
And so did you see any animals and stuff at the beginning? Did you do that?
Of course we did that. But it's not like it used to be. Like when I first met Lisa, she was still riding at the Peony. Like she would be riding horses in the show. Like they had actual dressage or jumping competition with prizes, and really good prizes in those days too, like $200 or $250 for first prize. And in fact, she used to ride there so much, she would actually sleep in a stall, like in the tack room. She would just sleep in there for the 2 weeks of the Peony because she was there every day riding horses.
Just poop in a corner?
Just poop in a corner. Well, they have bathrooms in the... Come on, what do you think it is? There's a place to poop in the corner in the... farther away from your stall. Actually, just join the horse. Everyone's pooping on the floor in there. They're animals.
The last time I went there... Well, I did go briefly this year, but didn't go much. But like last year, they had a demonstration of chickens. Basically, how do chickens work?
Yeah.
And it was a woman out front, and there was like three sections. And it was like, it's eggs, it's chicks, and then it's full-grown chickens.
Yeah.
And someone came up to her and was asking... So, what did where did chickens come from? Like, basically, what were they before they evolved into chickens?
Yeah.
And it's like, where did chickens come from? And the woman goes, God.
Really?
Yeah. And she goes, I just meant like, what do they evolve from? And she goes, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't believe in evolution.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Well, get away from the science thing then. You shouldn't be at the science.
Well, she's not really talking science. She's talking farming, so.
No, I'm still.
Chicken, raising chickens isn't really a science. It's not like you're doing math.
I understand.
Like her lack of belief in evolution is not going to affect how she treats chickens.
Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, that's just me.
You think that's going to affect how she raises, how she gets
I
eggs?
I think when you've got your choice of farmers, you can probably pick one that could answer more questions about
chickens.
I think
you would rather have someone who wasn't very scientific about farming than you'd want someone who is. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
I think
first?
Scientific farming can be kind of cruel and heartless.
Okay, but knowing where a chicken comes from
doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter?
No.
I disagree with that, but okay.
And I mean, they didn't really evolve either. They're basically created by humans, chickens. They're, you know, selective breeding to create perfect egg-laying.
That is evolution,
meat.
Though. Selective breeding is.
In a way.
Is evolution.
But I just mean it's not really evolving in the sense that you mean, like, in terms of, you know, evolving over time. Changes accruing over generations.
Yeah.
Where it's people actively, you know.
I just found that it was a legitimate, scientific, interesting question that was being asked by someone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's okay. All right. Sure. Oh, I guess. All right. Didn't quite sit that well with me.
Because you're prejudiced.
Towards science.
Yes,
I am.
Yeah. I know. That's a modern attitude.
Yeah.
It's like I was watching...
because we've evolved to that. That's correct.
I was watching... what's that movie called? The Bourne Legacy.
Oh.
And there's a scene where...
That did not evolve. There's a scene
in there where the scientist girl, she says her excuse for doing something was, because science. That's what literally the line was in the movie. Because science.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, that's a reason for something? Okay, whatever.
That's a reason for having experiments, I suppose.
But and I was talking to he used to be a dairy farmer, but then he was working as a cashier at Safeway,
mm-hmm.
which is strange, I know, but...
not really.
And he was telling me that when he was...
People have many jobs nowadays.
When he was a kid, he would go with 4-H to the P&E, and they would take their cows and stuff
right.
to demonstrate. And they would sleep in dorms across the street from the P&E. And I've never seen those, so that was obviously quite a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I think there's a McDonald's across from the P&E.
There's no...
There isn't.
That's Kitty Corner to the grounds.
Right, right.
But to go up past Renfrew. Or, no, Cassier. But, no, across the street is basically a park. And mm-hmm. that's probably where it was. There's that park across the street and a parking lot. So that's probably where those sort of things. But what else did we see? We went and saw the Superdogs.
Yep.
That's always fun. And no one talked about where they came from. There's no questions.
Yes,
that.
They did.
And then
they totally did talk about where they came from.
No, they did not.
No, they did. They went, these are all rescue dogs, and they told them your backstory because that's part of the great stuff.
No, they didn't this time, actually. About the Superdogs. That's interesting. No, they didn't this time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, because usually that's how they pump things up, and then it's like, hey, get a rescue dog.
Yeah, some of them are, some of them are, I guess. And then we saw the peeking acrobats, and they were very good.
You're just allowed to peek to see them, right?
That's funny. We met...
There's two jokes you can do there. One, you're only allowed to look at them through a hole in a fence.
Yeah.
That's the peeking acrobats. Sure, okay. The other one is, they're at the best they'll ever be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's right. Or they urinate really well.
Oh, the king of pee.
Yeah.
Wow. Bit of a reach, but I like it.
Hey, I'll go there.
Isn't it amazing, though, with stuff like the peeking acrobats? Those, they exist. And they can do that. And there's people, and they can do that. It's just, it's astounding. It's fucking astounding that people can do that stuff.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. There's a thing the guy did. Okay, there's like a, it's maybe a 8-foot, 10-foot stand. And they put it out. They roll it out. They set it up. Then they put 4 champagne bottles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put a chair on the top of the 4 champagne bottles. So it's sitting on the cork, on these cork. Then this guy climbs up.
Yeah.
And then he gets a chair from someone, and he puts a chair so that the top of the chair, like the back of the chair, is resting on the seat.
Yeah.
And so he makes this kind of perfect rectangle.
Right.
And then he gets another chair, and he puts that one leg to leg on the chair.
Right.
And then he gets another chair, and he puts that one, you know, back of seats. He does, piles them up.
Yeah, the audience's palms are sweating because this isn't TV. This is real.
Yes, this is real.
They're
life.
Watching it real in front of them.
So he goes about 5 of these high.
Yeah.
So he's, I don't know how high he is, like 30, 40 feet in the air.
Yep. And enough that if you fall...
It would hurt.
A lot.
It would hurt. So then he gets to the top of this, and then he does a handstand.
Of course he does. Why
would
he?
On top of these chairs. Then he climbs down from that, and then he takes one of the chairs, and he puts it so that it's crooked, so that it's sitting with its legs... on the seat, the other seat, and it's crooked.
Right.
And then he climbs up onto that, and he does another handstand, and he does some other stuff. And then he climbs down, and he takes that seat, and he puts it so it's sitting on one leg at an angle against the seat. And then he climbs up on that, and he gets himself in such a way that he is supporting himself on one arm, doing basically it looked like he'd be doing a handstand,
yeah.
but his legs aren't touching the ground. And he has one hand, you know, off to the side.
Right.
And he's supporting himself on this chair on one leg on top of this huge stack of chairs.
He's a human who can do that.
And it's amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. And then, of course, they take it all down. It's also entertaining watching them take it down.
Of course it is.
They have, like, a line of guys. And
do you know what? Here's the thing. Whenever I see that, I'm going, like, this is an amazing stunt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're seeing the stunt that worked.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing things like you're on the seesaw and someone jumps and the other one goes backwards and does a flip and lands on a chair. Like, holy shit. What didn't work? Because there's like 100 other stunts they've tried that did not work and ended horribly. And also, they had to practice this and build up to this and go like, what's the perfect amount of chairs? 4? We can do that. 5, which is what you're seeing. 6, tragedy. Back to 5.
Well, actually, it's
new guy, please.
10 chairs or 8 chairs.
Fine.
Be 4 high.
Then 10 chairs, then like 11 chairs. Too much.
Yeah.
Guy fell. Call his family, wish him the best. Now back to 10 chairs.
Yeah.
Bring in new dude. Here we go. And there's guys that are like almost good enough, but not, and don't know until they, oh my gosh,
But
the
a lot
process
of it, of course,
must be horrific.
When they're practicing, they do it with their like guidelines and stuff.
Oh,
like
I'm
that.
Sure.
That, you know, there's ways
but at
to...
some point they have to go cut the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to town.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's time to go without a net. Oh, I know. It's an amazing show. It was free, right?
Like
it's free
back
at the
in
P&E.
The day, that would be the most amazing thing you would ever see ever. That would be your Star Wars. You would tell your grandchildren about it. Now it's like, hey, you want to go see the Peking Acrobats? Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know.
Or maybe there's the pig races.
I don't feel that way.
I don't know. There's pigs racing around. There's Tammy Swinette running around and she loves a donut. Who knows? It's like, but god damn, these people are, it's amazing. You're seeing superhumans.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable. I just like shake my head whenever I see that and just go,
I know.
I'm in showbiz and I'm nothing.
It's amazing.
Forget it.
And then I ran into someone that we know, a former friend of the
Tammy
show.
Tammy Swinette.
Eric Fell.
Oh, Eric Fell.
Yeah, we ran
from
in.
From the Critical Hit Show.
Yeah, he and his girlfriend Laura Gray or Gret was that were at the P&E.
Nice.
And Eric told me that he saw them doing the news, so he went behind, so he was on camera, and he lip-synced reading the teleprompter along with the newsreader.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny Syrian jokes he was doing that night. You really have to sync it up well.
I think you have to.
You
know
have it. To look at what they're doing before
yeah,
you.
Hopefully.
In the tragedy.
It was the local news.
Yeah, you also probably aren't doing the tragic story at the P&E
yeah,
with everyone,
that's right.
Woo!
That's right. Woo-hoo! Meanwhile, in Syria.
Woo! Yeah, probably no dice. I want to... Was there any more places that you went with the gang?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. We'll get through that because we want to get also to the topic you brought up last week.
Oh, okay. So well, let me just tell you, the last thing we did, which we went up through Manning Park and to Princeton, and then we went to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's cabin. So we took them up to the lake, and so we went for a... And that was really fun for them, of course, because... I mean, I know that they live in, like in Shetland, you can never be...
They have no water.
You can never be more than 3 miles from the sea in the Shetland Islands. So there's lots of water in... Yeah, there's lots of water. But there's not lakes, like a big lake that you can go boating on
right.
with the sun or go... And then we also went in the morning, we went off in a Suzuki Samurai 4x4, old clunky thing, looking to see if we could see a bear.
Yeah.
We found some deer. We found some grouse. We did not see moose or bear. We really wanted to find some, but we didn't. But we still saw lots of beautiful things because there's lakes up there. And the only problem up there is that the pine beetle has really wrecked
yep.
everything. I mean, it's been 2 years since I was up there because we didn't get to go up last year because we were in Great Britain traveling when they did their cabin stay. And so I didn't make it up last year. So this year it was really an eye opener to see how much the devastation is up there. From the pine beetle. I know farther up north has been terrible, but it's been slowly making its way south.
Yeah.
And it's huge areas like Benning Park is just looking awful. So.
Well, when we were mentioning the bear situation, just to switch back to bear, that's something whenever I'm in Europe, you bring up bears, people want to hear about bears.
Yeah.
That's bears are like my wife, Pia, does some volunteer work with tourists. And they were asking her the other day, we want to watch a bear eat a salmon. Where can we like watch a bear in the river catch a salmon in its mouth? We want to do that. And she went, well, if you saw that, you would probably be killed because the bear is eating a salmon and sees you.
There's some territorial.
Yeah, basically, this is the worst time you could be seeing the bear unless you're kicking its babies down a hill. So don't is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I've
but
only
they're amazed by bears. The idea that like we live close to bears. They're like walking sharks. Even Australians and like dear Lord, you have everything that murders you. Mm-hmm. You know, but
the bears are amazing.
Bears are amazing.
Well, I've only run into a bear myself once, and that was in North Delta, in the bog. My friends and I were walking down there, went on a hike. We were gonna hike across the bog. That was our plan. And so we started off and we got about an hour in, I guess, maybe less than an hour. And then we ran into this black bear. He was just doing his thing. I probably didn't even see us.
Yeah.
And we all like took off like as quickly as we could in the other direction. The only problem was, for some weird reason, I don't know why, I decided that it would be very adult of me to wear my dad's belt on this hike. So I was wearing a belt, which I didn't usually wear. And so when I went to turn and run, I got it caught on a branch. And so I was running, pulling this branch with me until finally it snapped and I fell down. And of course, scrambled up and just ran for dear life. Everyone else was gone by that point.
You
miles
are the
away.
Girl at the beginning of the horror movie that everyone goes, yep, had it coming.
done for.
Yeah, you're in the movie Bear, and that you're the guy off the top that we go like, bears kill people.
Yeah.
And yeah. that guy, you know, that's what's right. he going to do? Mr. Fancy Belt. Mm-hmm. They would probably set you up a little earlier where you're all, like, talking in the woods about different things. And you're going like, hey, fellas, you seen my belt? Check out my belt. It's my dad's belt. You know, my dad was in the war. This was his war belt. I took it, though. I took it, and I'm wearing it. Screw him. I'm wearing this belt. What's that? Rawr. Run! Here we go.
This belt my dad carried through a Vietnam prisoner of war camp in his ass.
Weird. So, he could have just worn it around his waist.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking of. He liked it.
Well, yeah.
That's the thing.
That's right. That's how they wore them at the time.
It's called a tail.
That's right. If you couldn't afford anal beads, what you'd do is called belting it.
It was a fashion at the time called a tail.
That's right.
Well, actually, because I was a really lonely
teenager. Then you really deserve to be the first guy killed.
Because I was a really lonely teenager, I was making out with myself. And then I went around this corner.
Kids
and then
don't
I saw
do that
bear.
Anymore.
I saw this bear.
They don't do the old wrapping the arms around themselves and pretending to make out with themselves anymore.
Their loss.
It really is their loss. Okay. So that was your adventures.
Yeah, we had lots of fun.
Good for them. End of that story. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Curtains.
Please submit that to the Webby Awards for Best Podcast. All right. Now, last week, you were talking about movies that ended too late.
Yeah, they should have ended sooner.
Should have ended sooner. Yeah. That's very different than ended too late. Thank you for the correction.
Ended too late. I was really tired. That movie went on too long. Well, you know, I've been thinking about it for a week because...
Thinking about nothing but.
Oh, really?
Just like staring off into space while you're with your relatives
right. like,
on the lake.
I don't know why Dave was so quiet.
Dave, what are you thinking about? The time the bear almost took me. And what happened to that belt? Old belty.
Can I just say one more thing about bears?
You can as soon as I say this, okay. Which is you would then at one point have to whip off the belt and try to fight the bear off with the belt like a whip.
Snapping out.
And then the bear grabs it and tears it apart in his teeth, and we go, that bear's in trouble. Lunges towards you, fade to black, credits come up, and some bear-related song plays. If you go out in the woods today, Teddy Bear's Picnic starts playing, and then we cut to a completely unrelated scene with a new cast of characters.
Yeah.
Maybe in the background you see on a TV screen your face just up there looking surprised, and a news broadcast. Meanwhile, Eric Fell's in the background lip-syncing.
Bastard.
The things of your death. But please continue about bears.
I'm just going to say where my brother lives. It's very bear, very bear, what would be the word? There's a lot of bears.
Right. It's a,
it's the, a regular
it's
thing.
It's the gay district. It's the gay district. He lives on Davis Street near the Pump Jack. And
it's a regular thing to wake up in the morning and find your fence knocked down. Or
and honey pots all around your yard.
One time he had a bear scratching itself on his door, front door of his house. That's scary. Because he didn't know if the door would be strong enough. And then another time, he didn't realize it, but he was walking around to his garbage can, kind of minding his own business, not really paying attention. And just before he rounded the corner, he realized there was a bear eating out of his garbage can, which he said was really embarrassing because everyone knows that you shouldn't put food stuff in your garbage can.
Old people get mad at you.
And there was this bear eating spaghetti. So his jaws were dripping.
Lady and the Tramp style? Just like with two bears and they're rolling the meatball back and forth and then...
He's more eating it gum wall style. Just these big dripping things of spaghetti noodles out of his mouth hanging down. And my brother slowly backed away without making very much noise and went back in the house.
Pretending to be the Italian chef. Excuse. I'm going to get you some Moretta wine.
That's one spicy meatball.
Someone needs some garlic bread. I'm going to get Moretta back. Oh, mamma mia. And then off it goes. That's what you do. You got to pretend, put a mustache on, pretend to be the Italian chef. I guess he just works here. I'm not going to eat him.
Okay, let's go back to our movies.
No, we're going to go to Kitimat for a second. Okay. I'm going to say, when I was doing a show up there, they had the 7 o'clock bear, which was just this enormous bear that would go through everyone's backyards at 7 o'clock.
Really?
So you knew 7 o'clock, the bear would always come by. And occasionally you would go to the local pub and the bear would be there. And you'd just go, you got to wait him out. And they knew the same.
In the pub? Having a beer?
No, just outside of the pub.
He was a mean drinker.
Playing darts.
He was a mean drunk, that bear.
Yeah. He'd be on the pub quiz. He wouldn't know anything, but he'd always want to be on your team. Just like, hey, what team in curling? The Bears. Oh, for fuck's sake. It's not the goddamn Bears.
That's right. So, oh yeah, we're talking about movies. So I was going to say, I've been thinking about this a lot.
Right.
And it's actually hard to think of movies that...
You're such a tangent brain, I can't think that you've been thinking about this a lot. Well, I think you think about it for a few seconds, yeah. Then you think about Pi.
Thanks a lot.
And then you think about high school, then you think of it. Okay, go ahead.
I did make a blueberry pie the other day.
Very nice.
I am a bit of a tangent brain, you're correct. But during moments when I've been focused on it, I've been thinking about this, and it is actually hard to think of, like, movies. Because most movies, you know, they go through a process where that kind of mistake is taken out. Like, for example, I brought it up before, Clerks ending with the character Dante being shot by a robber.
Yes.
Terrible. If that's how the movie ended, everyone would say it should have ended, you know, 10 minutes earlier. But someone that Kevin Smith trusted said, you know, that doesn't work. So he took it out.
Well, it seemed like a good idea for an art house movie, which is sort of what he was leaning towards becoming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want to have that kind of like, oh, at the end situation.
It's called the cheat.
It's a cheat ending. Well, I mean, there's
because
a lot.
Because none of the movie led up to that moment, it would seem to me.
Except for the bleak black and whiteness, I guess, of it all. Well, yeah.
That's more the cheapness of it.
I've got one. If you want to do yours first, can do yours first.
Well, the one I was going to talk about, obviously, was the Abyss.
Please continue.
Because, you know, I really enjoyed that film. I've seen it twice. Mm-hmm. I saw the original version, and then I saw the expanded version. Probably on Laserdisc, but I saw the 3-hour long version or whatever it is. And the 3-hour long version to me is actually worse than the shorter version. And I know that it has more of the aliens in the longer one, but to me the aliens is the worst part of The Abyss. Like, what's really fascinating about that film is the job those people do. Like, is the environment that they work in.
The
is
working
this
class.
Underground,
yeah, yeah.
This underwater facility and the relationships.
Technically, it's also underground, so you're fine.
this facility that they work in and their interrelationships and stuff like that. You know, the wife coming back, like Marianne Mastro Antonio. You know, her character, and coming back and the reaction of Ed Harris' character to that and then I love the ending of the film that he sacrifices himself for everyone to defuse this bomb.
Right.
And I always feel like the fact that he gets rescued by happy face aliens is almost a cheat on the emotion that scene has in it. You know, the fact that I love that he sends a message back to her, you know,
yeah.
We knew this was a one way trip. I love that part, you know, and to me, all the sadness and everything you're feeling in that moment, it gets wiped out by the sudden flying in of these glowing alien creatures. And I just,
So how would you have ended it?
Well, I would rather have, yeah, I'd rather just have him. I mean, I know it sounds terrible, but, you know, he sacrificed himself.
Okay, he sacrificed himself?
Yeah, he should die on the floor.
Gotcha. How does the movie end then to you? What's the final scene of the movie then to you? Or final scene? Just final couple of scenes. Where do we go then?
Well,
You've liked him. You've liked the relationship. We're not going to end with aliens. What do you end with?
Well, I think you would end somewhere different. So you would have a scene far away from the facility. Maybe with her.
In the future?
Maybe she got pregnant by him. Like, so you'd have that in the film, that they have this sort of angry or loving sex scene. Do you know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. that later on there's a baby's born.
Okay.
And that's...
Life
goes on. And so, you know, even though he died and, you know, and it's sad, but it was a you know, a truly brave thing that he did. And yeah, and he carries on in a different way. And I just think, to me, like, I mean, the awful thing in that film is the alien elements of it, like all the waves, you know, hovering over cities and stuff like that. It's, you know, to me, that was so corny that I just, like, ugh.
Is it corny or is it like, what you're saying about Clerks is that didn't fit in the movie that had been set up. So did you feel like it just wasn't an element that belonged in the movie that had been set up and all of a sudden...
It just feels shoehorned
like
in.
In the third act, all of a sudden, there's a bunch of ghosts and we haven't set up ghosts in this movie?
Well, I feel with James Cameron that he's kind of a person who has Asperger's or something like that. Like, he obviously doesn't relate well to other people. You know, that's why he lives his life at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah.
You know, and
he
so...
does. It's true.
It's true. And
so in a Terminator movie... where you're playing a robot, mm-hmm. that's a good movie for a guy with Asperger's to direct.
Yeah.
You want to be bottom and someone who's obsessed with protecting the sun. Again,
well,
good
think,
movie
think
for
about,
a person like that.
Think about Terminator 2. Like, to me, there's a weird part in that film where he kind of misses a great thing, which is to have the boy, the character...
John Connor.
Edward Furlong's character. Living
John
with,
Connor.
Living with parents who he loves and gets along with. So when they are killed by the Terminator 1000, whatever it is, it's sad rather than just, that's interesting. There's a, you know, a pointy, shiny thing sticking through her neck. And, you know what I mean? Like, there's no, we don't.
Is it sad? I don't know if that would work as well, because you want to set up there that that the kid's damaged goods. So if he's in a loving family, where do you go from there?
Well, I mean, he's damaged goods no matter what. But I think that if he's on the mend, if he is in a situation where he's finally okay, you know, and then this thing comes and destroys that, you know, I still think that could work. I just think it'd be more emotional. There's no emotional payoff in that sequence.
No, I mean, that's just fire, got real.
Yeah, it's just fireworks.
That's right. That's the unfortunate. That's the wife in a Death Wish movie who you don't really get to know, but now, you know, revenge.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, all you care about is the Linda Hamilton character, you know, and her relationship with her son.
But she's not a very sympathetic character, so.
No, she's Mama Bear protecting her kid, and it's like every other part of her has evaporated, and she is now just protection. Yeah. She is just that force, and then you've got the robot force, and now you've got these two, you've got the most human thing of, like, mom protecting child, and basically Edward Furlong, who gives a shit? You know, you don't care about him. He is just there to be the ball in between mom
and robot, in a way, who
wants to kill son. In
the, when you watch the film, I mean, he's in this, you know, has this great relationship with the robot, but not with his mother through the film. Like, she might be a mama bear, but she's not a loving presence in his life. She's just this protector, you know, this thing that's, she's almost like the Terminator, you know, who's just there to protect him.
That's right.
You know,
and she actually learns, she gets more emotions and widens her spectrum and learns not to be prejudiced towards robots. You know, you take what you can get, eh, folks?
It was written by a robot.
I guess a Terminator can change his ways, and I guess things can change.
I just bring that up as an example.
She's hopeless, and she learns hope.
Yeah. I'm just bringing it up as an example of where I think he kind of has trouble writing, like, relationships and stuff in films. So, to me, what he did in Abyss is really good. Like, there is a real sense of camaraderie, and there's great tension between the wife and the husband characters. And that great scene with the wedding ring and the door.
Right.
And, you know,
he didn't write The Abyss, right?
I think he did, yeah.
Did he write it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good character work. For the most part, I mean, I always look at him as, like, again, the guy from Aliens, who was like, all the characters there, they're good, but they're kind of one note.
Yeah,
and then
exactly,
he plays the same card he plays in Terminator 2, which is unstoppable killing machine is here. Who's the only thing that can stop an unstoppable killing machine? A mom who's protecting her fucking kid. That's who. She's not going to stop for nothing. She's never going to bail. She's not someone protecting herself.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Here we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were looking at the computer. I was worried that we were not.
No, that's fine.
Is it working?
Yep.
All working?
Yep.
Okay. Because we're dissing, like, we dissed ghosts and we had some trouble before. And now we're dissing robots and technology. Yes. And I'm worried that perhaps
we're not dissing. We love robots and technology.
We do.
We do.
Okay. So,
in a very weird and sick way.
So, jarring elements, a new element added into movie is where that made a mistake
where
for
I,
you.
Where I get off, yeah.
You do not mind alien movies.
But I do, but I have to say, I love The Abyss. Like, I really do like that
even
movie.
Even with,
but like I say, I enjoy the shorter one with less of the alien stuff in it.
But if the alien stuff was out, you wouldn't get that water thing looking at her.
Who cares?
You wouldn't want that? You don't care?
Nah.
That leaves and you're fine?
Yeah.
Just kind of working class people under the water having time?
Well, that is about then the Navy SEAL guys and that, because really it's military versus. Well, yeah, it does kind of, you would need something like that. But, I mean, you could still have, like, an environmental aspect to it that would leave out the aliens, but still have something beautiful is there that could be destroyed by this bomb that the Navy SEALs don't care about.
It doesn't have the, what's this mysterious thing, that drives you towards the end.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to replace that with something. Get back to me next week on that.
Yeah, okay. I'll rewrite The Abyss. That's a good use of my time.
Please do. I would say
what's a film that you're going to.
I would say for me, this is a film that the last, like, I did not care for this movie.
Okay.
But then because it was just too mean.
Okay.
But then the ending, I just went, fuck you. And it leads into something I dislike in a lot of movies.
Okay.
And the movie I'm going to talk about is Event Horizon.
Okay, I've never seen it, so I cannot comment on it.
All right. Do you mind if I spoil some Event Horizon?
I will
for
never
you?
Watch it, so go ahead.
Okay. Basically, it's a spaceship. It finds kind of a hole to another dimension, pretty much. Another ship went into it, and they all went crazy, started killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they say, like, could this be hell? What is it? It's something.
Yeah.
Something bad. And it possesses people. It's one of those films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tell you that, and you go, like, have you played out the whole movie in your brain? Yes, you have. There you go. Did that one character who you knew would survive? Yeah, you did. How about that guy? Did he die? Yes, he did. Horribly? Yes. Mean? Yes. It was that kind of thing. And I'm fine with that.
But it was a mean-spirited film?
It kind of was. Okay. But what was mean-spirited the most is it did something I really dislike in a horror movie, or any movie really, which is the final scene basically was everything you did was pointless. There was no way you could fight this force. And so it wins at the end. Why? Just because it's more powerful than you. So it possesses everyone, and that's the end.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I fucking hate that. I fucking hate that. I watch that, and I just go like, okay, what's the moral of that?
Yeah.
Like, on the surface, I just go, well, you just wasted 90 minutes of my time.
Yeah.
Because the fight that everyone was having, there's no point. I mean, they do that in a haunted house movie all the time, where you find the thing about the ghost, mm-hmm. you've defeated the ghost,
yeah.
the ghost is defeated. Oh, no, it wasn't! And the last scene is...
What about the ending of Evil Dead?
The ending of Evil Dead, it's a tough one, because it's like of that era,
yeah.
you know?
70s.
It's a horror trope,
yeah.
but it's a trope that I do not like.
Okay.
You know, and I like that, because Evil Dead 2 sort of spun that on its head
yeah.
and made it make sure. you know, a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't care for that. Like, everyone's going to lose.
Yeah.
And why are they going to lose? Are they going to lose because of their bad judgment? Mm. Are they going to lose because of something they did? No, they're going to lose because the other thing was more powerful than yeah. them.
Is this inevitable?
So you're saying to me, if they had started the movie just going, fuck it, put guns in their mouths, blew their brains out, they would have been better off? Yes. Then I do not care for your movie, sir. I do not care for this movie at all.
Yeah.
I don't care for it was all a waste of time mm-hmm. and everything's pointless. That just feels...
That's how I feel about Seven. The movie Seven.
Yeah.
The end of the film is inevitable. There's no way to stop that particular train from reaching the station.
Yeah.
Because you're fighting a psychic, Renaissance man.
Yeah, so. It's a nihilistic thing. It's silly. I mean, that's one thing that I do like about the original, like, Manhunter, is that at one point, like, Hannibal Lecter kind of loses it and realizes, like, oh, and he's flawed.
Yeah.
He's not the superhuman he becomes later.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a guy in a that's cell. Terrible. Why is he in a cell? Because he got fucking caught.
Yeah.
That's why. Why'd he get caught? Because he's nuts. That's why. That's why he's not in his. He's not yeah. pulling a Loki. He's not yeah. in the cell because I'm biding my time while I wait here. Yeah, this is exactly where I want to be, and I planned this for years in advance. And now the sewer system, which I knew was flooding today because of the almanac. Now I'm going to lead the crocodile people. Fuck you! Just stop it. Just stop it. You know. Yeah. That I do not care for. You know. There's got to be a chance that your hero can actually win. You know, or had a chance. Like, I don't mind even a character making the wrong choice. And then screwing it up?
Yeah, that's fine. With it. Yeah.
I can take a sad ending, man.
That's right, yeah.
I'm all right with that. I'm not the best.
Well, I just talked about The Abyss. I want a sad ending to the...
There you go. No one screwed up. It was a sacrifice. That's a different situation
but
from...
I like a movie that follows itself, right? Like The Thing. Like, you can imagine the pressure John Carpenter was under to have at least one person survive. Like, Kurt Russell's character... I hope people have seen this film. It's, you know, 30 years old.
And not seen the remake.
And, you know... there was pressure on him to have, like, you know, someone has to survive. Like, you can't have a movie end with the characters just, that's the end of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, no, true to the story, you know, right to the end, right to the bitter, bitter end, that's how it would have to end. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's perfect. That's what you want from a film, even if it's a sad ending. I don't mind. It's when it's a shoehorned ending, like we've talked about before, why I hate the ending of The Mist, which is that the characters act the opposite of their characters through the entire film. Through the film, they are the characters of life. They are the characters of... They are
right.
the characters... They represent hope.
Right.
They're all about... We can go out there. Meanwhile, the character played by Marcia Gay Harden, her character is death, right? She's this fundamentalist yeah. Christian. She takes everyone down this weird, dark path into some sort of... Not even Christianity anymore. It's this sort of ancient, weird, religious sort of place of fear and death. And they represent the opposite of that. And then the end of the film comes and, you know, they kill themselves. And then we have the ironic twist that the mist clears and the soldiers are coming out minutes after they've done this. And you feel like, what?
No. Yeah. And why? The problem with that is, like, I can almost see, like, Stephen King, who says he really likes that ending better than his thing. It's like, yeah, but you got your ending already, like in the book. Mm-hmm. You already mm-hmm. got your ending. And
yeah.
it feels almost like a comedian who's playing just for the band.
Yeah.
Just going, you know, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Let's just fucking do this. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, there's the audience
yeah,
too.
I feel
and
that
it's,
way.
You know, you can, and I get it. And it could be, why not? It's hopeless. And but these people have been through so much shit through the whole thing. And when you have that kind of bleak,
you know what would have been a good ending? Is to have them, you know, they finally their car runs out of gas and they have to start walking. And then they find themselves, the mist, they're terrified, they hear all these sounds and stuff like that. The mist clears and they find themselves walking with other people, you know, like other humans. And, you know, it starts to get better and better. And then they pass by all these like group of hardened soldiers. And they're the ones who fought their way into the complex and closed the portal. You know, so they had this other movie that we didn't get to see. But we just see them just sitting there like, you know, the remnants of this hardy
band.
Kind of,
that's something I actually really like in a lot of movies. Well, that doesn't happen in a lot of movies, but I always like the idea of like, you know, even though I didn't care for Cloverfield that much, but that there's a better movie going on somewhere else.
It ends wrong.
Cloverfield does, yeah. But where they do it quite right, the old, there's a better movie going on a couple feet to your right, but we're not going there, is Shaun of the Dead. Where they pass by the more competent team that knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And everyone's got a parallel person. And it's like, oh, that's a good gag, but it's also nice.
Yeah.
Just like, no, we're just following the extras in the background here. We're not following Tom Cruise, who runs to the front of the Martian invasion.
Yeah.
Who's the guy at the back who just goes, fuck this, and just takes a, you know, runs.
And then gets run over.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
But then he sues the guy, and then he makes enough money to buy a nice house.
Okay, well, here's a film that should have ended sooner. This is one I thought of.
Wizard of Oz.
No, is Revenge of the Sith. It's probably one of the most unintentionally hilarious endings to any film, having, you know, Darth Vader stumble away from that thing, the operating table or whatever it is, and then the classic, no, it's so awful.
Yeah.
So awful
in
every way that I don't know how you could end the film, but not that way.
You could,
either him just being taken away.
If you take the no out of it, like all you have to do is just like have the guy go, you know, your wife's dead.
That's dumb. Though.
No. Because here's all you do then. What you do is like your wife's dead.
Yeah.
You do not say the no.
Yeah.
You just have him slightly clench his fist, and then everything in the room just crushes and fucking explodes, and shit goes down.
Yeah.
And you know the only person that isn't hurt by it is the Emperor.
Then you see him Googling later, and she's alive.
Yeah, there is no internet. Here's the thing about... Yeah, no one has a phone. The only thing they've got in that world is holograms that you can see each other. So, yeah, no one mentions...
That have to be sent via droid in a very complicated, most likely to fail method.
There's no DNA tests. that's right.
But I think... Okay, you would agree that the film does go on a bit too long.
I think the film went on two films too much.
Two films too long?
Yeah.
That it would be better if it was just one film?
Yeah.
I think someone did that, didn't they? That Topher Grace?
Yeah, he just edited
down to a... And I think it would be interesting and probably be a better film. But not a successful film because it's so flawed from the very beginning. From its very conception, it's flawed, so...
Yeah, you could almost... Actually, it's weird. I think it would actually work quite well as a Netflix miniseries. I think you could actually, if it was a TV series, and you could like actually spread it out a bit more and make it more character-y.
Wow.
And not have to do too much of the, you know, not too much.
You want to make it even longer.
Well, I don't want you flying on bugs. Don't fly on fucking bugs all the time. And don't give me like a space fight that takes forever for no fucking reason. Like, what you care about
that
is...
40-minute long ending fight?
Yeah, and you want to actually have better dialogue between Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, want to have like...
Like
you
have
know,
characters is what you're saying.
Yeah, Obi-Wan. How'd you make him boring?
Oh, they succeeded. He's just a whiny...
Here's a weird question about Star Wars.
There's no such thing as a weird question about Star Wars.
Okay, but here's a question about Star Wars. By the time we get to the films that you consider exist, but let's say the prequels do exist. Dave doesn't believe the prequels exist. Is there still slavery on Tatooine?
Well, no, because you never see it. You don't see or hear about it in the films.
Well, you do have it in Jabba's palace. You have a slave girl dancing. And they call her a slave girl.
But you feel like that is like an anomaly. Like that's a place that should be eradicated. And the fact that it's there is just because they're criminals and they have some sort of powerful place that can't be...
That's what you think.
Yeah.
But is there any point in any of the movies where someone goes and ends the slave trade on Tatooine? Like I know you...
Well, we don't think about there being a slave trade there. We think about
there
as being...
Well, there is because Anakin was a slave. Like the slave...
No, Anakin doesn't exist.
Okay, but let's say you were just brought up Revenge of the Sith, so we're now in a world where...
Okay, you want to... Okay.
Okay. So, like, and the sad thing about Anakin is he was raised a slave.
Okay.
His mom was a slave. They're slaves to Watto, the flying bug man.
Yeah.
Who's this kind of guy?
Yeah.
Anyway. Ugh. Anyway. I was listening to a Peter Serafinowicz podcast where he talked about how racist the prequels were.
They really are.
And just like, it's just like all the worst ethnic stereotypes. Like, oh, boy, yeah. But, like, okay, so you've got the slave trade going on, and then I don't know if you ever have a situation like the sand people then kidnap the mom after she's bought, but the slave trade exists because she was bought, so yeah. It still exists. Mm-hmm. And then he kills some sand people, but it doesn't seem like they ever end the slave trade. So is that still around? Because it's weird that you have a slave girl in this thing in an area that was all slaved up. It seems like that maybe, should have been, that was a dangling
maybe that was
thing.
A good part of the empire. They ended the slave trade on Tatooine.
That'd be interesting if they yeah. did. Yeah. And you could see how a guy who used to be a slave would end that shit.
Because maybe Tatooine was sort of an outlaw planet, like outside of the sphere of influence of the former, or whatever it was, the Federation or Federated
right.
Planets.
I
whatever.
Mean, you had slaves.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, you have, when you first meet Anakin, you have, he's a slave, his mom's a slave. How do people get shit done? Well, they buy a slave. By the time you get to Luke, his slaves are the robots, which you go like, hey, they're just fucking robots. Yeah, but they're sentient and apparently can feel pain because they torture them at one point and yeah. they scream. Yeah, so yeah. these things actually can think and whatever. So we've moved the slaves from people to these, but I just wondered if the people still exist as slaves on this old slavey planet.
I don't know.
I was just wondering if you knew. Because that always
I have
seems,
not read the novelizations.
That seems like a huge fucking thing to not follow up on. That, like, if you introduce, like, that there's this whole bunch of slaves, mm-hmm. hey, Star Wars, you know how the whole freedom, yeah. yay, maybe at the end where everyone's cheering, yay. Hey, on Tatooine, I don't see anyone cheering. Is that because you're all still just a land of slaves and Sarlacc pits?
No, they're so busy
and
with
horrible
their
horrible Jabba palaces.
They're so busy with their water vapor farms that they can't. That's a lot of work.
Even though
collecting all that water.
Full of water.
Yeah. You know.
What? Okay.
The have and the have not planets.
Right.
So
you say that should have ended early.
I believe so. I think, well, obviously.
Should they not have had the scene with flamey Anakin climbing up all on fire and the guy going, I'm very disappointed in you, Anakin.
Is that what he says?
Well, he's basically just like, he's giving him the old scold and not putting the fucking fire out. Huh. Just throw a damn blanket on
the guy. I think
he's
kind of mad at him by that point.
I understand he's mad, but there's mad and then there's you're on fire mad. Maybe, like, put the fire
okay.
out, you jerk.
You cannot blame Obi-Wan for being written by old George Lucas. True? Yes, very true. I'm not judging that Obi-Wan is played by Ella Guinness by those shitty movies that are a
okay.
bunch of crap, that have characters that don't make any sense,
okay.
that have no personality. Obi-Wan is just a whiner and a crybaby in all those films.
What about the guy who works at the diner? How about that well-developed
Fuck him.
Character?
Dexter Jetster?
Well, let me tell you a story. Let's sit and have a talk at the...
What should I be offended about with you?
Why is it a 50s-style diner?
I know. And it just starts with the Asian aliens who are just like, you know, what is this about? Stop it. Every angle of it. Like General Grievous, now we hate people with asthma. What are you doing, man?
Who's a lizard?
Is he a lizard?
Yeah, he's a lizard inside that robot thing.
How do you know that?
That's what I heard. I heard him. He was described as being a lizard inside the. He's not a true robot. He's a lizard inside the.
Oh
robot
yeah,
suit.
I know he's a cyborg, but I didn't realize he was a lizard
yeah,
cyborg.
Yeah, he's a lizard cyborg.
Well, here's the thing. Show that because that'd be interesting. If like the mask falls off and you're a lizard underneath, that might be a thing to do. Oh Christ!
Those are terrible movies, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that.
They are. They really are. And each one. Do you know what it? You know what it was though? The trailer for Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Yeah.
This is a really good trailer.
I know, you're watching, you're like, oh, this could be pretty good. This looks interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it looks there's like twists on things that you know, like, so you have Princess Leia's crazy bun hair, and then you have, is it Amidala? With her crazy hair and her costume and stuff. You're like, oh, that looks really interesting.
Understand.
These spaceships look kind of cool.
Who's there, Darth Vader? Ooh, a guy with all these horns?
Yeah, and he's got like a two-bladed lightsaber.
Up
wow,
the
wow
very good. Here we go, yes. Though they do make the mistake of making the prequels more exciting than the, that's the old Temple of Doom mistake.
Oh,
that's
okay.
the old, hey, what's Indiana Jones doing in the old Temple of Doom? He's going up against two swordsmen. Okay.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute. This makes no sense. Oh, he's looking all smug because he knows he can shoot them. Wait, how does he know what happens in the future? Oh, yeah. For fuck's sake.
Well, what it tells you is you should never do a prequel to an action film. Like, you just shouldn't because you can't possibly do anything proper.
Oh, boy. Now I'm trying to think if there's ever been any good prequels to action movies. Ugh, that will take a good think tank.
Skyfall. If it's a true rebirth film, it's way more exciting and adventurous than Dr. No.
Well, Casino Royale. It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's an awesome film. But I'm just thinking in terms of Skyfall as being like this idea of the rebirth of the James Bond story, and we're supposed to go back from
wait, but that. Casino Royale is the rebirth. That's the relaunch. It's Casino Royale.
But not in terms of like, I know that makes sense, but why? But there's all these callbacks to past James Bond
in Casino Royale.
No, in Skyfall.
Like what? What's the callbacks in Skyfall?
Well, like the
I just watched it like 2 days ago.
Well, like the music from Dr. No and from.
Okay, well, there's music. Yes.
Yeah, and there's things where he's like packing his desk and he's taking stuff out from the other from his past adventures, and they're like music's playing for Dr. No and.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So it's this weird kind of.
Okay, that doesn't strange, make a lick of sense. Yeah, all right, that's fair. It's but Casino Royale, I'd say, would be the prequel to an action movie that was actually quite good. So there, asked and answered.
But I don't. Well,
do you not think Casino Royale is good?
Well, but it would make all the James Bonds before it pale in comparison.
But for sure,
particularly the Roger Moore ones, where he can't run because he's wearing a corset.
Casino Royale, he kills his first person. That's how it starts, with the first person he's ever killed.
Okay.
Then he kills his second person.
Yeah.
And then we're off and running.
Of course, the thing about Casino Royale is it really was the first James Bond.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't the first Casino Royale movie.
So I'm just going to bring up one more film, because this is from a listener.
Okay.
Who wrote on the website.
This is from a sneaker.
And actually wrote rather sympathetically to my argument about Breaking Bad.
Could I just say one thing about sympathy first?
Sure.
Someone wrote, Someone wrote, yes. Someone wrote in and said they felt sorry for me for my troubles that I was going through last week.
Okay, yeah.
And so basically out of that, they bought my book.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just buying the book out of pity, good. All right. Continue, Dave.
He has no pride.
You fucking buy it.
There's no pride
no,
here.
No, that's fine. What's pride got to do with it? $5 is $5.
Yeah. Have you guys listened to this show? There's no pride.
Absolutely. No, if you wanna feel sorry for me and buy my book out of that, hey, I'm all on board for that. That sounds fine. Whatever reason. But you know what? Buy it out of spite. Buy it to show me what's what, mister.
Sure.
Then write a nasty review about it. You show me.
On Amazon.com.
Yeah, I've actually only got one review right now, and it's a five, really nice, five stars. Yeah.
It mentions
nice.
Me in it, so I really appreciate that review.
Yeah, I can edit that out.
You cannot edit Amazon.com reviews.
It was
Would
actually,
that be ridiculous if you could?
It was actually really nice in that it was I had two people that week tell me that I kind of got them started in improv. One was this person who like just started fairly recently, and another was a person that started in the late 80s, who I kind of brought him to his first improv shows, he does that professionally now. So both were like, oh, that feels pretty good.
Talking about Eric Fell?
No, I'm talking about
so
Dan
that's
Dirksen.
The third person.
Eric Fell is someone...
Because he mentioned it on the podcast.
That's right.
At the cosplay con.
Okay, but you have something written down.
This is from Pierce,
okay,
who, like I say, wrote in. And he also was very sympathetic to your
thanks, Pierce.
iPhone problems. But he suggested Return of the King, Lord of the Rings thingamajigger, as a film that possibly should have ended an hour earlier.
I think. Here's what I always think about Return of the King. It's like when they get, spoilers, it's when they get all the hobbits on the boat and Gandalf on the boat and everyone's
only
on
one,
the boat.
Only one or two. There's only Frodo that goes on the boat.
Okay, they get the Hobbit on the boat.
Yeah.
They get Gandalf on the boat. Who else is on the boat?
Elves, I guess. Because the elves are going to the other lands.
So here's what I always think. I always think that it's basically the boat that's going to the other land, which is basically like we're taking the dog to the farm.
Yeah, they're going to Oz.
They're taking the dog to the farm.
Yeah.
He's going to run and have fun. And so all I expect is like the boat goes off, and then you got Mary and Pip, and they turn their heads, and all they hear is blam, blam, blam. And it's like that's all they see. And then the boat's slowly sinking into the water.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, that was for the best.
Yeah.
And just like, where is he? He's in that other land.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he is. And then just the corpse floats by, and they have to just kick it back out to the sea.
This. Hide it.
Don't worry. He'll be back in three prequels. Don't worry about him. He'll be fine.
I don't know if you... I mean, obviously, I think most people would agree that film goes on way too long. It has too many endings. And you can't...
So many that that even when it was winning all the Academy Awards, the movie was still playing.
Then it shouldn't have won all those Academy Awards. Because they should have... When that film came out, they should have been like... handing the Oscars, and then when the movie released, they pulled back the Oscars. Like, no, if you're going to release this pile of poo, then you get no
Oscars.
It
was not a pile of poo, but it went on too long. It was too long, the situation.
Okay.
But it was, you know what? I think it was something that people were wanting at that point. Like, there was nothing like that out there. There was no big sprawling epics with, you know, we haven't had that for a long time. We've had a lot of, and admittedly, there's a lot of CG in it, right? But there hasn't been a lot of people walking through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't had like a Lawrence of Arabia going through the desert,
yeah.
going through different landscapes. Okay. And I think people are hungry for that at the movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can you get on That's the fine. Movies that you don't get
on
TV?
There's approximately 6 hours before those endings of that stuff.
Yeah.
So really, we did not need to have the jumping on the bed scene. All right. We didn't need the marriage sequence.
Yeah.
And then we didn't. There's one other ending part that I don't remember.
Well, they didn't have the the battle at the Shire. They just took that.
No,
out.
The it's called the something of the
scouring.
Scouring of the Shire. Yeah, right. That's good. And
now,
yeah.
Did that bother you?
Yes,
that wasn't.
It did bother
but
me.
But that would have made it longer.
But it would have.
Come on. What do you want it longer or shorter? They took it
well,
out for you.
Here's,
for you.
Here's what I'll sacrifice for that sequence. The jumping on the bed scene.
Okay.
And the marriage of Aragorn scene.
Well, it sounds like you're
going to
get
that.
About the same length of time.
You don't need that
sounds
BS.
Sounds like you're not talking about length anymore. We're now talking about things you wanted
crappy.
In the film.
No, it's not just that. It's the fact that scene, that sequence, is sort of a key part of the development of those characters. Because we have them return to the Shire, and they're completely different than when they left. When they left, they were bumbling idiots who could barely get going.
Okay.
Which the movie kind of misses that part of the book, where they keep making mistakes, and then they have to get taken care of by Tom Bombadil
right.
twice. Not once, but twice he has to
Was
come and
rescue
him. Was there
not enough Tom Bombadil for you?
Well, Tom Bombadil is a pretty impossible character to have in a film. That's kind of ar-dee-dar, or well, you know, that kind of Cornish
I've
farmer.
I've heard a lot of people complaining there's not enough Tom Bombadil, and that there's not enough, I forget who this other character is, but he's someone who, when they ask him, like, what do you think of the ring? I don't care. And he's a person, just a person. He's like, I don't care.
That's Tom Bombadil.
Was it?
Yeah.
And then he puts on the ring and he goes, I don't care. And just takes the ring off. So that's him?
And then Frodo says, well, how come we didn't give the ring to Tom Bombadil? He asks Gandalf, and Gandalf says, because he would just lose it because it's meaningless to him.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great part of the beginning of the book is just their ineptitude of getting going on their journey. And so the end of the books, and should be the end of the film, is them coming back to the Shire as these changed people who come there, find Saruman and Wormtongue, have taken over the Shire, are, you know, turning everything into factories and you know, into industrial England, basically. And they come in and they kick their asses. And then, you know, they're the heroes.
So the book does not end with everyone getting on a boat?
I don't remember that. But it's been a while since. I mean,
I got it on my shelf.
I read
I'm
it.
Go look at it right now.
I read them just before the films came out because my thought was I would never need to read them again because the movies would be so great. And I was wrong because I would love to read those
the
books again.
The elf boat soon will be leaving for other lands.
Hey, that's pretty
the
good.
Elf boat.
Not as good as Drunk Guys, Drunkest Guys You'll Ever See Here in Seattle.
Yeah,
but,
that's
you know,
true. You did
good.
Win.
You
won this round of music parody, oh Gaga. How are we doing for time, my
Let's
friend?
Wrap her up.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Once again,
thank
I'm
you, thank you, Pierce. For
thank you for yeah. Anyone who wants to you know get mentioned on the show, pretty easy. Here's all you got to do: go to sneakydragon.com and post your thoughts on the show.
Yeah.
Odds are we'll bring you up.
Yeah.
Or go to our Facebook page.
Did we mention we have no pride?
Oh, by the way, sorry.
Yes.
You were going to say your title card from last week.
Oh, yeah.
Was a Breaking Bad thing that it was called Breaking Bread. You had the Sneaky Dragon as Heisenberg, and you went, pretty obscure reference, and I went, I agree, I don't get it. I kept trying to figure it out this week. What was it? What was the reference?
Well, I mean, the Breaking Bad was just, I just changed the title around a little bit.
Because
it's Breaking Bad, I just switched. But
understood. All right, I thought there was some
the
hidden
scene
meaning
itself,
in that.
No, the scene itself was, there's a scene in the third season, I believe, where these two killers who are related to Tuco, I think his name was Tuco, the drug dealer who gets killed by Hank.
Okay.
They come... They go crawling on their hands and knees to the shrine in Mexico, and they leave and they leave the picture of Sneaky Dragon, or sorry, of Heisenberg. And so I just switched it, but it seemed like no one quite got what I was going for there.
No,
so,
interesting. Okay, nope. And
I thought that was like the best way to have him in the. Because I looked for all kinds of stuff, and what I actually had to do was I had to watch the show on Netflix, find that scene, take a screenshot of it, put it in Photoshop, and then put the drawing in that.
Wow.
Way. So it's pretty elaborate.
Thank you for your work.
No problem.
All right. Looking forward to seeing what you do this week, whether it's going to be obscure or obvious.
Might just be obvious. We talked about some pretty major movies.
So again, if, you, if you're in Saskatoon on the 14th and 15th, please come and say hi. Buy a shirt or something, or just go to our page, doodle around. There's stuff to look at.
Yep.
Like us on Facebook. That's one of the things you can do. You can like us on Twitter. You can't like us on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter.
Yep.
We're not on Pinterest yet.
No.
But one day...
There's nothing Pinteresting about us.
What? Oh, boy. Don't know if I want to end on that. Do not know if I want to end on that. Oh, and if you feel sorry for me for having to listen to that joke, buy my book. It's about Tolerant Stupid. That's on Amazon. It's your Kindle. And I'm going to give Dave a copy because he gave me $5 Canadian dues. The lightning seems to have stopped, so it seems to be safe. Dave and I are going to go out and get a burger. And thank you so much for listening. I've been Ian.
I've been David.
All right. You have a good day now.
Bye. I'm the funny one.
Yeah, in quotes.
The bluest skies you've ever seen are in Seattle. And the hills the greenest green in Seattle. Like a beautiful child growing up free and wild. Full of hopes and full of fears. Full of laughter, full of tears. Full of dreams to last the years in Seattle. In Seattle.
Sure.